Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It feels like ages since I've been here, but at the same time, it feels like yesterday since I left here, if that makes any sense. It's hard to believe that I graduate the Southwest School of Bible Studies in 3 months. So thankful for this congregation and all the love it's shown me over the years. What is the greatest gift that you have ever received? I know many of us, we love receiving gifts, especially those gifts that we receive that are unexpected, meaning you got them on occasion that you didn't realize. It maybe it wasn't even your birthday. Somebody was just thinking about you. I was watching this video of this lady, and she tells her story of how she obtained salvation and how she obtained this gift. And she says that when she was a little kid, her and her siblings, they were mistreated growing up. Their parents were drug addicts, they were abused, and they were put into foster care, actually in an orphanage home. And the social worker that put them in the home come and visit them about a year later and said, "I have found a family that is looking for several. They want to adopt 3 kids, and I think y'all would be the perfect match. And the only thing is they want children that are going to be faithful, the ones that are going to be obedient. And if you mess it up, we're going to have to bring you back here." And she goes, "I don't want to mess it up. We want to be a family again. We want to have a family and be together and stay together and remain together." So the social worker calls the family. The family comes and picks the kid up. And upon getting there, they give each kid a box. It was a shoebox. They told them they weren't allowed to open that shoebox until they got home that evening. When they got home, said it felt like the longest drive of their life. They get home, they open up the shoebox, and she says she can still remember to this day their faces opening that box because they had received the first toy that they had ever been given, that they owned themselves, and it was a little teddy bear. But there was another thing in that box, and it was a book. It talked about a God and how He sent His only begotten Son and how He sent a Savior, a book that she kept for the rest of her life. Until this day, she now goes to orphanages, and she fosters children, and she spreads the good news to them. It's a beautiful story, but it is a great gift. One of the greatest gifts that we can ever see in the Bible is in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Please open your Bibles up this evening to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We will be camped out in this text, so please mark it. But in Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You think about what God has sent us, sending us His only begotten Son, so one day that we might have eternal life in heaven with Thee. This gift in Romans 3:23 was a free gift. It was offered to all, but it had a huge cost behind it. You think about what it cost Him. It cost Him His Son. You think about what it cost the one being given. It cost His life. And you think about what it cost the one that is given the gift. It cost them to live their lives for God. But it is a gift that no human being would ever think about giving someone else. It shows us the true power of the Scriptures, how they must truly come from God, because who in their right mind, a man, would give their son in exchange for a sinner, in exchange for a wicked person's life? Paul tells us the need for this gift in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 and 10, because he says, "Before we were reconciled, before we were justified, we were considered enemies of God. Before we became Christians, we were an enemy as of God." And I want you to think about this, because we're going to look at 3 points in Romans chapter 6 this evening. First, we're going to see in verse 15 through 18 the gift of grace. We are going to see the gift of man in verses 19 through 21. And we will see the gift of God in verse 22 through 23. But God offers every one of us the gift of grace, which covers up a multitude of sins, but it requires us to live our lives completely obedient to Him so that we can receive the free gift offered to all, eternal life. But let's look at verse 15 as we will see the gift of grace. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." We see this very great question: what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And he gives us the answer: God forbid, most certainly not. But he talks about the law there. Now, this is not the law that we are under today, being the law of Christ, but he is talking about the law of Moses here. He will go on from here, going into chapter 7, talking about how the Christian is dead to the old law, because now we are under a newer, a much better one, the law of Christ. And the old law, it was nailed to the cross. But you think about under the old law, what the children of Israel had to do. They had to offer those physical sacrifices. There was daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly sacrifices that they had to take to the altar. And today in Romans 12:1, we are to be that living sacrifice. You think about, we don't keep the Sabbath day and like the old law said, but today we are to be holy every day. Again, Romans 12:1. We are no longer to have to be physically circumcised, but God wants us spiritually circumcised. You see, the law always had a purpose. It pointed God's people toward what sin was. It showed them what sin was, and it also showed the other nations whose God people was and how they were different, how they were set apart from the rest of the world. Now, in Romans 7:7, the next chapter, Paul tells us that he would have not known lust except the law had said, "Thou shalt not covet." The law pointed out sin, told them what sin was. But what does Paul say we're under? Paul says we are under grace. Well, grace, it is unmerited. It is unearned favor. It is free, but brethren, it is not cheap. It is a gift from God. And Paul starts talking about this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Please look at that real quick, because we cannot separate chapter 5 from verse 6. As chapter 5, he starts this argument in verse 12, talking about how Adam brought sin into the world. And then he gives us about the gift of God being this free gift. And he goes through chapter 7 covering the gift, how we obtain it, why we need it. But it wasn't that Adam brought in sin and everybody inherited that sin. It was Adam opened the door to sin and mankind just kept going through that very same door. But we have a contrast, because through the end of that chapter, chapter 5, he talks about Jesus, how he opened the door. And it is so that we may have eternal life through him by God's grace, so that we may live righteousness. But look at 5:15 at the very end. It says, "The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many." That gift of grace being through Jesus Christ that God offers, it abounds to many, can cover a multitude of sins. Look at the end of verse 16. "The free gift is of many offenses unto justification." The best definition I have ever heard of justification is, "Just if I had never sinned." Because it is a legal term. It is what shows us what we must do to cover up our sins. Because it's so that our sins won't be on our account come judgment day. So that they may be covered up. So that we may be justified. Look at the end of verse 17. "Much more than which we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, being Jesus Christ." The end of verse 18. "By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." This gift that just keeps on giving through Jesus Christ, it is a gift from God. It is to justification, so that we may live righteousness. Look at the end of verse 20 through 21. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul says that through Jesus, it covers God's grace. It covers a multitude of sins. Does that give Christian the license to sin? Absolutely not. And that's how Paul will start off in Romans 6, verse 1. "Shall we sin that grace may abound?" And he answers it there, "God forbid, most certainly not. How shall we that have sinned sin any longer?" But look there at verse 16. He says, "You yield yourselves to servants' obedience." In other words, either you are slaves to sin, which equals death in the end, or you are slaves to obedience, which equals righteousness. And as we will see in verse 22, equals eternal life. In other words, are you of sin? Are you of this world? Are you of lawlessness, which is being against God? Or are you on God's side? Are you on God's army? The one that will be victorious. The one that will win in the end. Because brethren, we all need to make a choice. You think about what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Brethren, we either choose God or we choose this world. There is no in between, but we need to choose, and we need to choose now. In verse 17, he says, "You were the servants of sin, but God be thanked." Now, Paul, he thanks God back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, how he talks about how their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. How beautiful that must have been if Paul is traveling on his missionary journeys to run into people and they were speaking about the faith at Rome. It would be like us going to another state, another country, and people talking about the evangelism going on in Italia, Texas. How beautiful that must have been, because they were the servants of sin, but as Paul says in Romans 1:7, they are now called the saints in Rome because they have obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart. God has always wanted us to obey from the heart, not just to show it on the outside like the scribes and Pharisees, but from the heart. And that form of doctrine, brother, is the same one he mentions in Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It was because of the gospel, in verse 18, that they became the servants of righteousness. And brethren, each and every one of us in this room at one time were servants of sin. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But the important thing is that we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that form of doctrine which has delivered us. And brethren, not only does the gospel give us hope, it gives us something to live for. You think about how it changed our perspective as Christians, how now we can see the end reward at the end of our life, because that's what we're worried about, the end of our life as Christians. We're not worried about now, because we're going to face trials. We're going to face persecution. We're going to face suffering. Those things are going to happen. Jesus says that they're going to happen, and you can have joy when you're facing them. But the point is we change our perspective. People that are in this world, of this world, they are thinking of the now. They don't care about the end of life, which is eternal life or eternal death. Look at the gift of man, verses 19 through 21. He says, "I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded yourself members, servants, to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things before now? Wherefore now you are ashamed." He speaks here in the manner of men. He says how they were of uncleanness, how they were iniquity on iniquity. That is sin on sin. And Paul, he goes over these in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 all the way through 32. And he talks about homosexuality, murder, wickedness, fornication, covetousness, envy, backbiters, boasters. And he goes on and on of the sins that were going on in Rome at this time. But what he says in Romans 1:32, he says, "Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but they have pleasure in doing them." You think about that. They knew God's judgment. They knew the scriptures. They knew the reward at the end. It was death. But what did they do? They kept doing them because they had pleasure in it. Not only did they have pleasure in doing the sins, but they had pleasure in the people that did the sins with them. And brethren, what do we see in the world today? People have pleasure in doing sin. What do all the people do in Natalia right now that aren't a part of the church, in the church, worshiping God right now? They are living a sinful life, sin upon sin, iniquity upon iniquity. Look at the end of verse 19. "Even so now yield yourselves servants to righteousness unto holiness," as going in verse 20, you were the servants of sin. This is all connecting back to verse 17. They were the servants of sin because God be thanked that they had obeyed the gospel from the heart, that form of doctrine, which has turned them into servants of righteousness, as we will see in verse following. But in verse 20b, he says, "You were the servants of sin. You were free from righteousness." It wasn't that before they knew the truth that they weren't going to be covered. He is saying here that they were free from justification, that their sins were going to be held to their account in the end. You think about that. Just because someone doesn't know the truth, in the end, they are still going to have to face the judgment. The sins are still going to be accountable. As he says in verse 21, "What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed?" What fruit had they in those things? In other words, what did your past sins lead you? Because in the end, it is eternal death. It is eternal torments. It is eternal darkness. What fruits were you but now you are ashamed of them. Because they are looking at their past on how messed up they were living, the life that we were living, all that whoredom, all that fornication, but now they have changed. Were there things that Paul was ashamed of? You've better believed it. Because what did Paul do before he became a Christian? He persecuted the church of the living God. Did he let that known? You sure bet he did. And he went around telling people because he wanted people to change. But also, notice what he says in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He could see how the gospel had changed his life, and he could see how the gospel changed everybody's life as he went and preached the gospel throughout the book of Acts, planning the church, seeing the power of God working in people through the word of God. Verse 21, at the end, he says, the end of those things was death. He is not talking about the physical death. He is talking about the spiritual death, the eternal death, the eternal torment. In verse 19 through 21, Paul has told them they were servants of uncleanness. They were the servants of sin, but now they are ashamed of their past. But Paul, notice how he uses this servant language. Some of your translation, it says slaves. Because at this time in Rome, there was more slaves than there was free people. Some people became slaves because they were so poor, they needed housing, they needed food, they needed shelter for their family, and they did it willingly, became a slave, but many were forced into slavery. But they knew what a slave meant. It involved serving a master, and not only just serving a master, but many of them would serve a master until their death, and that's what Paul's saying. If you serve sin, you serve it unto death, and it's not just your physical death, but it will be eternal death. Because most slaves, they would never be free. They would remain servants for the rest of their life. Now, brethren, to be a servant of God, it is a choice. As John 8:32, the truth shall set you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It is the word of God that can set us free. It is the one that has many spiritual blessings as a Christian in the Christian life in the now, but also has so many blessings in the end, which is eternal life. As Christians today, we also were once servants of sin because we once too walked after the flesh. But after we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, after we crucified that old man in the waters of baptism, we are to rise up and we are to walk in newness of life. That's harder said than done. You think about what Paul says in Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Paul talks about putting that old life away as a crucifixion. Was crucifixion easy? No, it was not. It is something you're going to have to turn your life 180. All your family, your friends, everything you have known up to the point of being a Christian were of this world. And now you're changing your whole life. It is a hard thing to do. And it's something that we will work for the rest of our lives. But now, as Christians, we are ashamed of that very past. And you think about it, looking at back at all of our past, how I can look back at mine and like, man, how dumb I was. How could I be hanging with those people? How could I be watching those movies, listening to those things on the radio? How could I have done that? Because I was living a life of lawlessness, which is against God. But sometimes our past makes us appreciate even more our lives in the now as we look back on who we were and who we are today. Amen. But sometimes it also shows us what we need to do. Because we know the people that we once were, and we see our friends, we see our families, we see the lives that they are living, and we know we can relate to them. And brethren, now we need to take them what we learned that changed us to be here today. Take them that very message, that gift that God offers all. Take them God's grace, salvation. Take them Jesus Christ, so that we too can take the power of God which leads into salvation and bring them to Christ. As we will see next, the gift of God that He offers us in verse 22 and 23. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at that verse 22a. But now being made free from sin and became servants to God. He is using that slave language of how they were in bondage, how they were in sin, how they were serving that master, which in the end is eternal death. That old life now that they are ashamed of, it is over, is in their past. And now they need to focus on the now. They need to focus on the future. And they need to make a choice on being a servant of God, one that has eternal rewards because they have chosen the way of righteousness. Look at the end of verse 22. You have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The gospel has made them fruitful in living holy lives. When you're being fruitful, you're producing. In other words, you're not just being holier, but every day you're striving to be better and better, abounding in the love, in the work of the Lord, being stronger in our own faith. It is something that we need to continue growing and growing every day. Also be fruitful in spreading the good news, spreading the gift, spreading the message. Like Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God. What does he say next? Which is your reasonable service. Why do we do the things? Why do we live that living sacrifice? Why do we live holy lives? Why do we be acceptable to God? Because look what God has offered us. He has offered us His only begotten Son. He has offered us His grace that we are justified, that we are reconciled. And brethren, we should offer our lives. That is all that He asked, to give Him complete obedience. They were now offering themselves unto holiness, not just giving those physical sacrifices, but they were being living sacrifices. But look what he says in verse 23. If you don't do this, what is it? The wages of sin is death. What were the wages of a slave? They didn't get no wages. They got absolutely nothing. If sin is their master, the wages are death, and it is eternal death. Paul says, if you serve sin, you're going to receive the payment for sin, and it is eternal death. But if you serve God, you're going to get the wages of God, as we see next in verse 23b. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. King James uses through, but a lot of translations use in, and I like that, because where are all spiritual blessings? They're in Christ. All right, where are we saved? In Christ. Is there any spiritual blessings? Can we be saved outside of Christ? Absolutely not. We must be in Christ. The wages of living a righteous and holy life is a gift of God. What is the greatest gift that each and every one of us can receive? It is the one that God offers everyone. But notice how the Bible says it is free. Free being offered to all, but the cost it had. You think about it, we just partook of the Lord's Supper. God offered His Son's body, offered His Son's blood. What did the Son offer? He offered His own blood, His own body. And what are we to do today? To be that living sacrifice. To be living for God every day of our lives. To pick up our cross daily and to follow Him. Not just on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. But every moment of our lives. This all ties back to the end of chapter 5 and verse 21 where he says, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Brethren, grace is unmeritable favor, which is something we can truly, we can never earn it. It is something all mankind needs, but they do not deserve it. Now, nowhere in the scriptures will you ever see saved by grace only. You notice it is only offered to those who are servants of God, who are fruitful to holiness, and who are servants unto righteousness. While we can truly not ever earn God's grace, meaning there is no way that we could ever repay God for what He has given us. And not only that, there is no way we could ever pay Him. Money cannot buy salvation. We will have to work for the rest of our lives by being His servants. We will have to work until the day we die because there is no retirement in Christianity. Being a servant of God consists us of being consistent service to Him all the way until the day we die. Paul has showed us here how we receive the gift of God after being servants to Him. And he will go on later in Romans chapter 10 and start leading up to the steps of what it is getting to the gift, on how we must confess Jesus. And I like how he puts it in this order, because he says we must confess Jesus first. Because how do you confess Jesus? He says that next. By believing in. And then how does he say that next? By hearing His word. Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But real quick, zoom into Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Because in this context, Paul, he paints a beautiful picture of why we need access of this gift and how we access it. Look at verse 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." How do we get into Christ? We are baptized into his death. And look at verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." Baptism is clear here. It is a complete burial. It's not like the world teaches. It's not sprinkling. It's not immersion. How do we bury people? Do we have an arm sticking up, leg? No, it's completely buried. Completely buried in the water. But also we are to walk up in newness of life. We are to live a life completely like Christ. To live a sinless life by following his example. Look at verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." What do we all want to do one day? We want to go to heaven. We want to be resurrected. We must be in Christ to be in the resurrection, to go with Jesus the day he returns and we meet him up in the clouds. We have to live a life that is full of righteousness, obedience unto him. Paul tells the church at Rome, and he tells us today, it is through the gift of God, through his grace, through the Son, through the gospel, that we have been offered the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive. All we have to do is obey the gospel. Why are we baptized? Because God said so. Why was Naaman cleansed? And why, when he dipped in the water 7 times? Because he was being obedient to God. It wasn't anything to do with the water. It was obedience to God. And brethren, we have to be obedient to God and always serve him in righteousness. For all have sinned. All of us at one time were servants of sin. But we have learned through the gospel of how that past life we were truly wrong. And how we were enslaved in sin and how we had no hope. We had nothing to live for. Our end goal, it was messed up. And in the end, it was leading up into eternal death. But the gift of God, you think about how the gospel has changed our perspective of life. Because if you were to ask somebody in the world, what is the greatest gift that they could ever receive? They may tell you a home, maybe a car, maybe a child, maybe something of that nature. But think about how that changes the moment they're told that they only have a week, a month to live because they're dying of cancer. Then to them, what is the greatest gift in life? Life. What do we have right here in our hands? The solution to eternal life that everyone needs, because brethren, the world is sick in sin. And we need to take them the great physician through the gospel. You think about the orphan girl I talked about a while ago. What if nobody would have taken the shoebox with the book in it? What if nobody would have ever even tried teaching the gospel? She may have never heard it. Brethren, there are so many people out there in our world, our friends, our family, and our neighbors that need this very message. We hold this very message in our hands. It is a gift from God, and we need to take it to our family, friend, and neighbor. All mankind needs this very gift. It is a gift that we do not deserve, but we all need it to be saved from the wrath of God. Romans 5:9. It is the greatest gift that we could ever offer anyone. And we have been given marching orders to do it. Matthew 28:18-20, where Jesus says, "Go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you until the end of the world." We have been given marching orders to go teach the gospel, to take them God's grace, to take them the very gift. And we need to do it as part of being obedient, as part of serving him and being a righteous servant. First, we saw the gift of grace. Second, we saw the gift of man. And finally, we saw the gift of God. Have you accepted that gift that God has offered us? Brethren, we don't want anybody to leave this building here this evening without hope. We have the waters of baptism ready. And if you have not been baptized, to be baptized, added to his church, because this is just a building. To be part of his church, you have to be baptized into his body. I was taught wrong growing up. I was baptized in the Baptist church, and I had to be rebaptized because I wasn't baptized into Christ. We all have to be baptized into Christ. Where all spiritual blessings are, where salvation is. There is nothing found outside of Christ, outside his body. Jesus is the head of that body. You don't have to be here this evening. Maybe you have sin in your life that is keeping you, it's hindering you for taking this great gift to others. Brethren, we want to pray for you because none of us want to see anybody miss those pearly gates. We want to all see you go to heaven, and we want you to walk out those doors this evening saying that is for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Please, make your request right now as we sing to his patient song.